Well, good morning, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's wonderful that God has forgiven us. That's the best news that you'll hear all day and the rest of our lives, that God has forgiven us of all of our sins. Isn't that wonderful? Through faith in Jesus Christ. That's why we trust him. That's why we put our faith in him, because of what God has done for us. You know, God's not mad at you. God is not sitting there looking at you, you know, taking a measure of you. He knows everything about everything and everybody instantly. He's not looking at you from a negative, judgmental point of view. He took out all of his judgment on Jesus Christ. He took out all of your sins. Isn't that something, that God so loved the world, so loved me, Earl Williams, little Butchie, as they call me, Butch, growing up, is a nickname. Don't call me that word. You can call me that anytime. That's no big deal. But isn't that wonderful how God loves us and forgives us? And he does not, he's not mad at us. God's not mad at you. God loves you. Through faith in Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, God relates to us as his son. We're his sons and daughters, but we are his son in that Jesus lives in us. I'm his son. You're his daughter. But his son, and imagine that, his son lives in us. And he has forgiven all of our sins. Doesn't care what people think of us or you. It's what God sees in you. And it's not your performance. It is he sees his son. And that's, I guess, the message I want to bring to you today, that God has forgiven all of your sins. There are thousands, millions of people who walk around burdened and heavy laden because they think about all the times they've messed up. Well, add my name to the list. All the times they have sinned. And the most wonderful gift God could give us is his forgiveness through his son, Jesus Christ. In Colossians, you want to turn there with me? Colossians chapter 1. And if you don't want to turn there, that's fine. I'm going to start in verse 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. Set your heart on what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. Oh, I reminded of that Toyota commercial. Years ago, there was a commercial about the Toyota car. And to advertise it, the guy was so excited about the car, he would jump up in the air and click his heels. Anybody remember that? Click his heels before he hit the ground again. And he'd say, oh, Toyota. Well, when I think about my life, yeah, I want to jump up in the air, but I don't have the knees to do that. And I want to say, oh, yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me of all of my sins. For cleansing me and making me holy. That's the greatest gift God could give to us. Colossians, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not only earthly things. For you die. And you die to sin. I die to sin. And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, that's your new identity. That's who you are. Not just by identity, but who Jesus is, you are, because he lives in you. And it's he who's in you that makes you who you are. And he says, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, then, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly and the natural, the sexual, the immorality, the all of the hatred in this world, all of the sin, all the wrath. God is coming. God is coming. You used to walk. I'm misreading something here. Verse 6. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. Not coming for us, though. It's coming for all those who do not put their faith in Jesus Christ. You used to walk in these ways, in the life that you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all of these things. All the anger and the malice and the slander and the filthy language from your lips. And he goes on and on. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Imagine God giving us, giving you his image. Wow, that's just awesome. That's awesome. I don't have the words for it. One of my grandsons used to, we'd play with one another, and he would say, well, Grandpa, I don't have the words. I don't have the word. I don't have a word to describe how great God is and what he has done for us. He is with us and he loves us. Therefore, as God's chosen people, down to verse 13, holy, notice he calls you holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive. Now watch this. This sermon is about forgiveness as well. As God has forgiven us, he has called us to forgive others. Bear with each other. Put up with each other. And forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. Wow. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And what he is saying is that he wants us to forgive others just like our Heavenly Father has forgiven us. Don't hold it against people. Don't want revenge. Or you can want revenge. Don't take it. Ask God to change your want-tos, that desire to get even. The good news is that God, through Jesus Christ, will change your desires from violence even to peace. He wants us to be like him. And therefore, Jesus Christ lives in us. I want to go back to Galatians 1 here, and I want to go to verse 12. Verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, look at what he calls you, holy and dearly loved. Wow, isn't that awesome? If you have a values issue about yourself, when you read that and believe it, therefore, as God's chosen people, God loves us. He's chosen us. Holy, and you are not just loved. We are dearly loved. Clothe yourselves then with compassion. Since God is that way about us, he wants us to be that way about others. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, even to those who have harmed you, who have hurt you, who sinned against you. This is a holy calling. Kindness, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other. That means put up with, oh, I can't stand them. I can't put up with them. Ew. Well, God has put up with us. If you were to see all the ways we have failed to live according to God's and God's godly way, you wouldn't want you either. Because God lives in you and has changed us. He bears with us. He puts up with us in a very positive way. Bear with each other. Oh, I just can't stand them. Oh, you know them folk. They eating squirrels and eating the cats and the dogs and so forth. Violence thing. God doesn't even say that about us. And you have people who are supposed to represent leadership, putting lies out about people. God says, no, I don't want you to be like that or follow that way. Be compassionate with kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances. You got a grievance against this group or that group. You don't like them. You don't like him. You don't like her. Get over it, as they say. Get over it through faith in Jesus Christ. And bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. If we would do that, if all the Christians, let's kick it up a notch. If all the Christians in America who profess to be Christians, evangelicals, against abortion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, if we would live this way, then all the racism and the prejudice, the bigotry would have no place. I submit to you, God calls us to that standard, to bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have. You don't like these people. You say, no, that's evil. No one can stand as a Christian promoting this. No one. I think you hear me. Forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, as the Lord has forgiven me. That's the standard. It's not the language you speak, not the car you drive, not the money you have, the neighborhood, or the political party you ascribe to. All that's nothings. God says, bear with each other. Oh, they are a Republican. Oh, they are da 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 da. And they're liberal and I'm conservative. This is not Christian. It is not. And no one should dress it as Christian. Whatever grievances you may have against one another, well, if that was just wiped out, all the grievances, all the lies and the attacks, if that was just wiped out, what a nation this would be. This is supposed to be, quote unquote, a godly nation. This is not godly. This is not Christian. Now, I didn't plan to preach on this. And some will say, well, Pastor, you always talk about don't get into politics. No, I am getting into Christianity. I'm quoting the Bible. And I'm saying to you that what is being promoted in this country as Christianity is not. This is Christianity. You got to bear with one another, not get rid of one another, not segregate one another, not put out one another, but forgive whatever grievances. And if you are attacked as an ethnic group, that is wrong. Forgive them. Forgive them. Even as God in Christ has forgiven us of all of our sins, we have to forgive those who even attack us racially of their sins. That's right. Because then if we don't, we get out in the gutter with them. If we do the same thing they do to us, like I said one time, it's not an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. If you plucked out everybody's eye that you don't like, we'd all be blind. If you pull everybody's tooth that has upset you, then we all would be snaggletooth and we could not ever eat. We'd find a way though, right? We'd find a way to eat. God says, I want my people to be this one. Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I'm going to change my glasses right quick because I can't see. Need a little bit more magnification here. Oh, that's a lot better. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these things and all these virtues, put on love. Put on love, which binds. Nothing else will bind. lawful bond, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful that you've been called to be with that other person. Oh, I don't like them people. Oh, I can't stand them. That's not Christianity. God has called us to peace, to bind us together in one body. And you were called to peace and be thankful. Are we moving out the neighborhood now? No, he wants us to be one body. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. As you sing songs, I don't like that kind of music. And hymns and spiritual songs in your hearts to God. To God be the glory. And whatever you do, whether by word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Why is it still today that the 11 o'clock hour is the most segregated time in all of Christianity? Why is that? Why is that? Why cannot we be one as God calls us to be one? One body, one faith. It's because of sin. God is calling us out of sin. And he's calling us to follow even as he has forgiven us. We should forgive one another for any real or imagined issues. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't America be blessed by God? Yes, God bless America. But that same God wants America to follow his pattern of sacrifice and forgiveness. Oh, I could go on and on, but I think I need to stop. It's like time is getting a little bit later. But I hope that this message helps us all in the context of America now, that we would learn to love one another and to forgive. Forgive each other to forgiveness. God has forgiven us so that we can forgive others. God has forgiven us. That's my main issue. God has forgiven us so that we can go. We got a mission that we would go and forgive others. My wife's giving me a note here. Oh. I can't read it. I'm sorry, darling.
I'm forgiving.
Okay. All right, here. Yes, we'll save that for next time. We'll save that for next time. But anyway, I think you get the point. God wants us to forgive one another as he has forgiven us. Father, we thank you for the example that you have set. It's a high example that we cannot make nor reach on our own. This has to be, Father, as you well know, from the inside out, and we cry that you would reform us and change us from the inside, that you would wash us and cleanse us of all of the phobias we have, all the hatred we have, all the judgments that we make of other people. These are your people that are being attacked. Many of them love you and have faith in you. I ask that you would help them not to in turn hate those who hate them. Help us not to hate those who hate us, but to love them, to forgive them. Change our nation, Lord. Have mercy on us. We ask you to remove the evil that is, and the poison that has been sown and added to our nation. Make us who you wanted us to be from the beginning of time. We're saying, God bless America. Lord, God, bring America into a new birth, into the birth that you want for it. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins of hatred and racism and unbelief. Forgive us, dear Lord. Send your son back. It may be the only way you know, Lord. It may be the only way that it gets straight. And Jesus come. Come, Jesus, come. Whatever way you must do it, Lord. Bless America with a transformation of America to be who you have called us to be. And to love one another, to care for one another, to uplift one another. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for us to partake of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And all believers have a part in that body. He took bread. As I take this bread, this bread represents the one body of Christ. There's only one body. And each particle of wheat, each drop of wine, depicts his blood. See, it takes moisture and flour to make bread. We are the body. We are the bread, made up of many, many particles of wheat. One bread. One body. And each particle of flour is held together by moisture, by water, by the blood of Jesus Christ. And he sweat great drops. That blood was to cleanse us of all of our sins and then bring us together in one loaf, in one piece, through the blood of Jesus. He died to make us one, one God, one body of Christ. And so, Father, we ask you to help us examine ourselves before we eat this bread and drink this wine. And that this whole nation would examine itself and all the parts to it, that we're to be one body. One baptism, says. One blood, one salvation. Help us today, Earl Williams, Katrina Williams, whatever your name is to examine yourself and ask God to show us if we are united as one body from many pieces held together by one blood. Show us, forgive us for our prejudices. Forgive us of our hatred. Forgive us of thinking that we are better than somebody else because of the color of our skin, or even our inferiority complexes because we aren't like such and such. Help us understand that you've made us all uniquely yours. You have a plan and a purpose for each of us. And by your Spirit, Lord, empower us to do the impossible, to love as you have loved us. It is not impossible. It is more than possible. As you gave your life for us 100 billion times, Help us to do the same, that we may bring glory to your name and not shame. So we ask this now, that you would bless this bread and this wine, and that we be empowered thereby, strengthened herein, to live according to the sacrifice that you have made for each and every one of us. Let us love and care for each other and those who are yet to come as you have loved us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As we eat and drink, let us give praise to our wonderful, merciful Savior.
Always hunger.